Hi, it's Rebecca Whitman, your host of the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. I'm a top-rated life coach, an international best-selling author, and a multi-passionate entrepreneur. I'm on a mission to help you go from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. The experts on this show will help you achieve work-life balance so that you can experience abundance in seven pillars of life: spirituality, health, emotions, romance, mindset, social, and financial life. When you have all seven pillars of life in alignment, you are balanced, beautiful, and abundant. Let's go. Welcome, everyone, to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. I'm your host, Rebecca Whitman. We're helping you go from burned out and overwhelmed to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. We have another awesome episode lined up for you today. First of all, I want to thank everyone who listens to this show, who shares it, who subscribes it. We are rated in the top 1% of all the podcasts globally. So keep sharing the love. I so appreciate your support, and you are helping a movement. It's a movement where people don't have to go through life stressed out and overwhelmed. They can actually be balanced, beautiful, and abundant. We have an amazing guest today. Welcome to the show, Dr. Vic.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Great to have you here. So let me tell you about my guest, Dr. Vic Manzo. He is a multifaceted professional serving as a quantum mindset coach and a pediatric chiropractor. He is also a three-time published author and the host of two compelling podcasts, The Mindful Experiment and Little Light Wellness. Dr. Vic empowers people to get unstuck, drawing from his expertise in the healing arts, neuroscience, quantum physics, and universal laws. His mission is to facilitate a journey of self-discovery, helping individuals reconnect with their innate greatness and lead a life brimming with fulfillment. I love it. We all want to be brimming with fulfillment, but that wasn't always your story. I did some research about you, and you had quite a traumatic childhood full of health issues. So tell us a little bit about your origin story and how did you get to be the quantum success coach that you are?
Yeah, I was born into this world with the wrong two feet, in a sense. I was born with bilateral club foot, so it's kind of like if you look at the top of your feet, I'm basically looking at the back of my heels or turn up and in. And so that led to a whole array of stuff to where, not just from a physical side, but I also had a lot of health issues with the immune system, chronic ear infections. I almost died at 4.5 years old. Thankfully I had a cousin. We had lived across hospitals, like a block and a half away, not even. And thankfully she, sprinted and carried me while I had a seizure. And, thankfully the doctor said if I didn't get there, you know, she didn't make it in 20, 30 minutes, I probably wouldn't have made it. Ended up having bacterial meningitis. And so, coming from all that, you know, it's just one thing after led to another, but what really started to, I guess it was kind of the path that started to shape things is when I was 7 years old. I remember I was going to see the doctor for a checkup, and they were telling me how I wouldn't be able to play sports when I'm in high school, and I would have to get a hip replacement by the time I'm 30. Now, me as a kid at seven, I love playing sports. I love being active. I just love running and doing all these things. So you're telling something I love to do, and you're telling me I can't do it and I won't be able to. That was a very disheartening moment at that time in my life. And I remember I made a choice. I was like, you know what? I'm not going to forget this. I'm going to do whatever I'm going to do to enjoy life as much as I can. I already had enough other things. Like I had issues with like bedwetting until I was about 11. And that was already an emotional stressor. And, you know, I felt like I wasn't adequate enough like other kids or normal kids, because they can go have play, they can go have sleepovers. They don't have to worry about those things. But that set the tone to what it showed me was, is I can either choose to listen to what someone tells me and let them dictate my life, or I can make a choice. Now, I'm not saying I decided that at seven, but my actions were just like, I'm going to do what I love to do, and that's it. And so I ended up playing multiple sports in high school. When I was at the age of 30, I took an x-ray of my hip, because I had access to it as a chiropractor, and it was it's perfectly clean. At 40, it's still clean. And so I'm like, the five bats. But that's where, from health stuff, that's what kind of, you know, it's got me interested in health and kind of led me slowly into becoming a chiropractor in many ways. But it was going against the grain and being told what I was told to do is what kind of, it kind of shifted. So I have the power to can choose what I want, choose my experience in some way, shape, or form. And as I got older, as I got into college, chiropractic school, this is where that started to evolve, where I started to understand more universal laws. I started studying, you know, energy healing. I wanted to understand what is the deepest level of healing that can be provided. And this opened up the door to quantum physics, quantum mechanics, and wanting to understand. I love learning as deep as I can. So if you tell me something, I'm like, that's great. What's the whys behind it? What's this? I want to know all the mechanics behind everything. And that's what opened up the door to tie in spiritual truths and all these other things. And then the chiropractic studies is what gave me the neuroscience and everything to kind of bundle this all together. And then I started to test that out in my own career. And from that process of, you know, going through burnout and all those things, after 5 years, I realized that I had to apply these principles, and I started to, and it was a game changer for me. And then from that moment, I decided maybe I think business owners need to understand these principles, that there's a different way to find fulfillment. There's a different way to get to the level of success of what they truly want. And I did it in my own career. Why not me try to help others? And so as a not only being just a chiropractor, that's when I decided to get into coaching and to be able to help entrepreneurs. And I've been doing it for the last 5 years, and it's been a blast.
That is so wonderful. So what a journey. What is quantum energy?
Quantum and energy are actually the two same words. So we look at quantum, quantum is looking at the energy world, the most lowest, you know, the smallest thing that we could possibly see, subatomic particles. And we look at how they behave and how they act and so forth. So in the quantum world, everything is, at the end of the day, when you get to the deepest, the smallest thing they could possibly see, it's energy at the end of the day. And so they call it quanta, but and we can call it energy. We know that everything is energy. And so when you look at, like, for example, this physical body, you know, we look at how we're, you know, this is my arm, this is my face and everything, right? You look at your physical body. When we look at the amount of space that's actually in our physical body of what we're made up, it's about the size of a football field, and the amount of matter or mass you have is the size of a penny. And so we're really all made up of energy in some way, shape, or form. And the energy that we are, whatever that,
okay. Our energy field is the size of a football field.
The space of our body, the space that we have with our body is a whole entire football field. That's how much space we have. And I'm using that as an example. Yes. So if you look at let me rephrase that. So the analogy is, when we look at how much matter we're really made of, it's like if you take a football field, all that is space, and it's the size of a penny is the total of matter of what we are. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, so that's when we look at, that's just an analogy that's used as a scale to understand the how much really there's a ton of space in us, in other words.
Yeah. How big does our energy field extend, though? That's what I want to know.
It varies on different people and different, you know, different things. I mean, it can be anywhere from 6 feet wide. They say Jesus has his was palpable at 2 miles. Whoa. How do they figure that out when he wasn't around is interesting. But we have a field around us. And for some people, when they hear about this, it used to be called like an aura, and you could feel, and that was in the spiritual realm, spiritual stuff and energy world. And they'll be like, well, that's woo woo. Well, we can call it a morphogenic field, because that's actually the science term for it. And so we have an energy field that spins like a torus around us. And so that is what we, that is the field that we have, that's why when you're around somebody, sometimes you can actually like feel their presence, or you can feel something about them. They feel good or feel bad. You're actually being intuitive, picking up on their field and their energy.
I had a spiritual teacher, one of my favorites, Michael Beckwith, and he said, you want to get your vibe so high that people feel you when you walk into the room energetically.
Yes. Yeah. And that's the key. And we're attracted to people who are high energy and high vibe. It's just, and, you know, even unconsciously, those are the type of people that we gravitate towards in some way, shape, or form.
So how can we harness this quantum energy to be more successful, to be happier, to be brimming with fulfillment, as your bio says?
I love it. So one of the things is we have to first stop reacting in life to things that happen and start to choose. A lot of times we're just going off things from left to right. We're just constantly reacting all throughout the day, and we're giving up our power. And every time we give up our power, we're not allowing them to hone back to ourselves, to our energy field, and give into that realm. And so instead of reacting, if we choose to respond to life or choose to respond to things and make the choice that this is what things will be, then all of a sudden now we're taking our power back and we're allowing to then be able to choose in the realms of what it is that we want to experience or whatever that may be. And when we're not reacting, then we are staying in a center in a more of a balanced state. And when we're more in a balanced state, emotions are more balanced, our mind is more balanced, we see things a lot better. And those are some of the elements that we can do when it comes to those kind of facets. But to find the bliss of all things on top of that, there's different elements. I mean, we're naturally designed to be that way. But again, we allow a lot of life and a lot of conditioning, and I sometimes call this the matrix too, to influence us, that interferes with that process. And this is when we start to not experience that, because we're either off our path, we're allowing to be influenced in some way, shape, or form, or we're just reacting to things in some way rather than responding to life and what comes our way.
I think emotional regulation is such a discipline, and so is choosing your thoughts, you know, and that's something else you've studied, is neuro-linguistic programming. So if somebody is a negative thinker, what are some tips to rewire their brain to be more positive?
Yeah, everything when it comes to neurology in neuroscience and everything, neurology is all about repetition, right? So if you have a negative thought or you're thinking negative about something, you're looking at it in the framework of that. You only find what you seek. You only see what you want to see. And a lot of times this is some deeper stuff. So sometimes people say, it's all I see. I can't see outside that. Why can't I focus on the good instead of I'm always focusing on the bad? There's a subconscious program there that probably exists. That's why we're reacting to a certain way in a certain process. But how you can change it, there's so many ways you can do this. I'll share at least one for the listeners, because you want to make it a conscious effort. And then you have to do this repetitively in order to start to shift and rewire your brain. And so one of the things I used to share to a lot of my clients is like, you have to create a pattern interrupt. And now you can do this, and there's so many different ways you can do this. But one of the simplest ways is like you take a rubber band, or you can use a bracelet if you want, but a rubber band is usually what I recommend. And you put it on your wrist. And every time you have a negative thought, you can enlist a pain response, which is going to be a pattern interrupt to the brain by just snapping the rubber band. For some people, they're like, so you're going to make me harm myself. Well, then you don't have to do that. You can just take the rubber band and switch it to the other side. Eventually, you're going to get tired of doing that. And what this does, though, is allows for a pattern interrupt. You can do this as like Mel Robbins talks about her 5-4-3-2-1 process. And you can use that every time you had a negative thought, you do 5-4-3-2-1, and it literally will shift your neurology to go back to the prefrontal cortex. And what that allows then is for you then to redirect your thoughts to say, no, what is it that I want to choose? What is it that I want to have? What is it that I would rather have? Again, choosing, responding rather than reacting. Because let's face it, thoughts are coming 70,000 times in a day. And we're only going to focus on the ones that we're vibing at. So our vibe is so important. And so when we're focusing on these, we want to be able to make sure that we're choosing the thought. And so if it's not something that aligns with us, and what I teach my clients too is your feelings will always tell you if you're in alignment and if you're in the proper thoughts that align to what you desire. If you are feeling low, if you're feeling not happy, if you're feeling exhausted or burned out over a period of time, this is where you're giving in to the negative thoughts and not in alignment to what you truly desire.
So I'm wearing this not to do a neuro-linguistic reprogramming, but in case I have a bad hair day. Every time I have a bad thought, I'm a recovering perfectionist. So every time I'm like, I'm not doing it good enough, I just, snap that. And eventually I'll be like, I'm tired of snapping this. So when I have a thought of I'm not doing it good enough, then how would I, other than snapping this, what else do I need to do to reprogram it?
Well, it's, you know, you can do like a set of 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You can, you can redirect and say, well, what am I doing great? You can ask yourself some personal questions on stuff like that, to where it's like the whole purpose is how do you get you to shift focus to look at something else, right? Because if it's a perfectionist, everything has to be perfect or else it's not great at all, right? And then we start, then we're hard on ourselves. I know how that is. I'm like that myself. Yeah. And so when we start to get a feeling of it, this is why I teach more of my clients the feeling side. So that way they don't have to be so mental. It's just like, I don't feel good about this. You're not feeling great. Why aren't you feeling great? Let's talk about that. And then once we get to that point, it's like, okay, well, what can we do to get you just to feel a little different, maybe in a different vibe, right? So if it's a perfectionist statement where everything has to be perfect, well, why does everything have to be perfect? You know, okay, what can we work with our mind to make an agreement to be like, hey, how about if we say 90% is okay? What if I can, you know, what's that level of expectation that you can bring down a little bit to find peace with? And then it's just a reminder. I mean, literally, it's just constant reminder. It's just how neurology is in those essence. But the greatest thing I've ever worked with is always going to be some sort of pattern interrupt, because we have these loops in our basal ganglia, part of our brain back here behind the head. And so it's our circuitry that just runs automatically. It's going to go back to the old patterns very quickly. And so when we can do some sort of pattern interrupt or just redirect, like, what if it's okay if I only do 95? What if I'm not perfect on this? Is it going to be the end of the world? Like, is it really going to be detrimental to what I'm trying to create here or there? Remember, I had an intern who was like that. I would have her do a project. She'd be an hour later still working on it. And I look at her and I go, hey, that's way too long to work on something like this. You have better skills and other things. She's like, yeah, but I want to make sure it's like perfect. I said, I'm going to teach you the 80% rule. Yeah. If it's 80% satisfactory to your standards, move on and you're good. And so then she was like, I love it. Now I've been using it. It makes my life so much more easier. Sometimes the perfectionism still comes in, but she's like, but I just know what that feeling is. And I just know how to say, nope, this is going to be fine. Does it meet this? Okay, it does. I'm thumbs up. I'm moving forward. So I don't know if that helps.
I like to say done is better than perfect.
Yes. Every single time. That's something that was hard for me, because it was like, I want it to be a certain way or a certain thing. And then eventually I was just like, at least I'm getting something for now. I'm getting something. I'm doing what I need to get done out there, and that's good. And then I'll make sure I try to be a little better next time if I can.
So what is the billionaire success formula? I read about that on your Instagram and I'm intrigued. Tell us.
Yeah. So I spent time studying billionaires because I wanted to understand what is the things that they do that makes them so massively successful. And when I was going through all this about 10, 15 years ago, I started to see a pattern, and it related to a lot of stuff that I was kind of teaching in some ways. And I was like, this is pretty cool that billionaires do this all the time. And I'm like, why? I'm like, people need to know more about this. So I came up with Billionaire Success Formula. And really what it is just the equation. And it's the first part of the equation is going to be, you have to have a vision. Billionaires spend a ton of time using imagination. Like, if you think about Elon Musk, that guy loves to imagine things and just test it out and try to put it into reality, right? He's always in that state. Everything he does, people are just like, oh, wow, he's really high. He just thinks of it and he's like, okay, we're going to put a rocket up and bring it back and we're going to do this. And everyone thought he was crazy to do it. And then eventually he got it done. It's, and even when the scientists of who we work with him are like, that can't happen. And he's like, no. It's going to happen. Figure it out. That's what you guys do. And so it comes to that point where they're always using their imagination to see what it is that they desire, what they want to create, what is something fun to them. And so a lot of times what I teach to my clients and stuff is the first thing we work on is vision, because you have to have a vision of what it is you want to create. Who are you? Who's the character in the movie that you want to become in the future?
Do you guys want to know my biggest beauty secret? It's called liquid collagen.
I have been drinking this medical grade collagen now every day for 3.5 years. My skin is glowing. My hair is long and thick and shiny. Nails have never been stronger. I feel amazing in my body. I am in my early 50s and I feel like I'm 25 years old again. And people do not know my age. They are like, what? You're kidding me. It's the liquid collagen. So you gotta try this. We have two formulas. One is for anti-aging and joint health, and the other one is for losing fat and body composition. All you need to do is click the link in the show notes and you have an amazing promo code. Check this out. It will transform your body and you will feel balanced, beautiful, and abundant. And now back to the podcast.
And so you got to utilize.
Question, if you're listening to this podcast, who is the character in the movie that you want to become in your future? What character is your future self? That's a great question to ask yourself.
Yeah, because you want to see how are you playing. And the thing about it is I teach a lot too, and especially in the formula and all these other things, is your mind time travels. We physically cannot, but our mind does. I can have you think of what you did yesterday and what you have to do tomorrow, and you just time travel. And so it's one of those things that, but there's a principle behind this, because when you can look into the future and see who it is that you want to be, that future self of you, you can take that person and bring them into the present and say, well, how do I act and how do I be like that future person of me 5 years from now, 10 years from now, whatever, that 20 years from now? How are they acting? How are they responding? How are they being? Remember, it's like a movie. We're literally living in a movie. You get to choose and you're the character running the whole thing. Everyone talks about this, but it really is true. And so this is the power of vision. And the beautiful thing about vision is that your mind, neurologically speaking, or neuroscience process, is that your mind can't tell the difference what's real and what you put up there in the imagination. That is the most biggest, if you want to call it a neuro hack, that you can utilize in your life. That's it right there. So why not use it every single day? I mean, I have my clients constantly doing visualization work every day because it's the one thing that I've studied in my own experience and in many others. I have tons of stories I can share of just my own personal life where seeing things in my head and constantly visualizing. And then all of a sudden, later in my life, I see it show up and I'm just like, wow, this is freaky, like almost to a T. And so the visualization part is about the heaviest part of the equation. It's about 90% of the time. The second part of the equation is inspired action. So this is different from taking action. There's a difference between the two. Inspired action, you can't ignore. You are propelled to do it. When I wrote my third book, I was in the process of moving from Chicago to Knoxville. I was closing my office down and my wife was pregnant at the same time. In the midst of all that inspired action, I was being pulled and I could not ignore about writing a third book. Like, it wouldn't leave me alone. It was like a fly just kept bugging me. It wouldn't leave me alone. It was so annoying. I tried ignoring it. I'm like, seriously, I got all this in my life right now. You tell me I got to write a third book. And all of a sudden, of course, I made a deal and bargain and whatnot. And I said, okay, if this is true, I'm going to send it to my guy who creates my covers. And if he nails it, then I'll write it. But I kept doing it. I wrote the book. I didn't write the book then. I just got the title, got the cover, and then the feeling went away. I didn't take action for another 3 months because I wasn't propelled to do that. So it's when you are in inspired action, it's actually an alignment to your vision and what you want to create. And your it's an internal thing. It's like your intuition. You're letting it guide you. And so when you can utilize the visualization part and you can have inspired action, that will equal success. And that process, a lot of times we do it backwards and we do 90% action and we do 10% visualization and having a vision and a purpose of where we want to go. And that's at least where my experience was studying business and self-help and all that. And it's still today, a lot of times it's still the same advice that they're sharing. And I've only been in the world for 15 years in the business world. And that's constantly the same advice I hear. And technically, it should be the other way around. We should spend 90% of our time visualizing, using imagination, seeing in our mind's eye the world we want to create, playing that movie in your head over and over and over. I mean, you don't have to take my advice. Oprah has a vision board. Steve Harvey talks about having a vision board. You can use a vision board, but the whole purpose is visualization. That's the key. So however you visualize, that's the key. But that's what will lead you to success. And that's what my research has been when it came to studying billionaires. That's the thing. They take action only when necessary, when they're inspired. Because when you're pulled to do something, it's going to work out. It will be successful. We know people that just do stuff and it's like they have the Midas touch where they just touch. I think that's Midas, right? When they touch everything, it turns into gold.
Well, what are some techniques or practices that our listeners can do to start visualizing?
Yeah, one of the greatest things, you got to quiet your mind. So it's a lot harder in today's world, especially information era. The biggest thing that I'm a fan of that helps with visualization is breath work. Now, breath work, you can use anybody's technique. There are so many out there. But one of the ones I usually get my clients to start with is like a Wim Hof style breath work practice, just to get used to this process. Because when you use breath, it's so powerful that it will actually recenter your brain. It gets you out of the reptilian and even the mammalian. It'll allow you to get higher centers in the brain. So you get more into this prefrontal cortex. The other beautiful thing about that is it resets your energy. And so when we can do those two things, now all of a sudden you're allowing for the imagination of your mind to kick in. Because if you're stressed, if you're wired, if you're constantly on the go, your imagination's low. It's hard to switch into that part of your brain. The breath work is a great way to reset your energy and reset your mind to tap deeper into it. And it's not going to happen once. You're not going to do it once and be like, oh my God, this is great. I have all this creativity now. It's going to take a little bit of time, but every time you do it, you'll start to, sometimes the first time I have clients, they'll just sit there and go, I was just so peaceful, but I didn't feel like thinking of anything. I said, it's fine. You're not ready for that yet. We just got to get you recentered. We got to retrain this nervous system a little bit. But then there comes a point where they're like, oh my God, I had this vision. Oh my God, I thought of this. Oh my goodness. This is what I want to create, or this is what I feel like creating. And I'm like, there we go. What did that feel like? And I have to walk them through like what they felt like. What did it feel to make sure it's an alignment? And then all of a sudden they're like, yeah, I'm like, that's it. And then they start doing it and they have all these other ideas that start to come. And then it's more ideas and it's more ideas. And I'm like, okay, that's run with this energy. Just run with it. Because once you're in alignment, everything fires a lot faster. And so it's a lot harder to, I tell them all the time, like it's a lot harder to play catch up because you just have so much firing. But when we're in that state, then it just becomes, you know, just go with it and go wherever the energy's flowing and create as much as you possibly can.
So for the listeners that don't know the Wim Hof method, how do they do it and how many minutes a day minimum should they do breath work to start getting into the vision of their success?
Yeah, great question. So with Wim Hof is a style of breath work to where you take 30 deep breaths in. And what you're going to do is you're going to breathe in through your mouth as fast as you possibly can. So it's just something like this. And then when you breathe that all in, you just relax your lungs. You don't force any air out. So you're not trying to breathe out. You're just letting everything relax. And then you go immediately, as soon as you don't have any air to breathe out anymore, you go back into that repetition. So you sound like a train, literally, because it's just like... And you do that for 30 reps. Then you'll go ahead, last one, you take a big deep breath in, and then you breathe all that air out, and you're going to hold your breath for about a minute. And minute to a half, if you can push that far. And I know some, for some people may be listening, like, hold my breath for a minute. I can barely hold it for 10 seconds. I promise you, you'll be able to hold it. It's amazing how long you can hold it. But then you do it for a minute to a minute and a half, whatever your comfort zone level is. And then you go right back into the breath. And you do that three times. And it's about, 7 to 10 minutes, roughly. You may feel lightheaded and dizzy just because your brain's not used to having that much oxygen. So the key factor is make sure you're sitting or lying down. But what you may also feel is tingling. A lot of times people feel numbness around the lips, their hands. Sometimes they get cold. Sometimes they get hot. It just depends on the individual. But this is just your nervous system's resetting and you're going through this kind of a process. To get to the state of the levels, what's cool about breath work is you can get to a deep state. If you practice every day for 2 months, you can be in a very... You can tap really deep into yourself in a lot of different elements. What yogis take 20 to 30 years to get to. That's what's fascinating about breath work. And it's a 5,000, I've studied a lot of ancient traditions and, different cultures. And it's amazing how breath always continues. It was a big foundation to it all of what you can utilize it for. It's, some cultures call it prana, which is life force. And so how we breathe, some cultures say how we breathe is how you live, which is so true in so many ways. So, and even, again, there's some neuroscience behind this. There's a part of your brain in the midbrain called the breath pacemaker. Its job is literally to focus on how fast your repetition is and how you're breathing. And so this is why when we get like angry, our nervous system revs. And so all of a sudden you're going to start breathing a lot faster. You can literally turn that part of that nervous system off over a period of time by just slowing your breath down, and you won't be as angry anymore. And you can, you may not say you're not going to be frustrated, but it'll at least calm you and get your thoughts collected a little bit here. But that's the process behind it. But when you do it, this is after that, that's when you can do a visualization practice. So the depth of how you can go, it depends on the individual. I have some clients that can do it after the first one. I have some clients in my, or experiences that it may take a month or two. It just depends where they are and how their nervous system is primed and conditioned and so forth.
So how do they do the visualization practice once they've done the three rounds of the breath work? And now what? They're sitting there, their eyes are closed, they're relaxed. Now, what do they visualize?
Yeah. What is the life? What's the feeling that you want to have? What does that feeling feel like? Your future self. It's not about what you have. It's not about what car or house or money or job. That's all mental constructs. It's the feeling that we're really chasing. So what does that feeling look like? And this is where the work comes in, because it's not, some people are not tapped into their bodies and understanding that. So it takes a little bit of time. Some people are. So depending where they are in that process, but it's the feeling you want to have. Do you want to be happier? What is happiness? What is blissfulness? What's joy? What does those feelings mean? Think of a time. Sometimes I have to do work where we go back and think of a time where if you're not getting those feelings, looking in the future of what you want to have and what you'll be doing, then you go back in the past first and find those of what that shows up as for you. And then we use that to go into the future and say, okay, like say, for example, what I used to do for visualization is I remember when I made a shift in my practice 5 years and after burnout, I took a 40% hit financially. When I work with chiropractors, I say, here's my secret sauce of what it did to grow my practice and work 14 and a half hours a week, making almost seven figures and so forth. What I did was I visualized every day the feeling of working with kids and moms, seeing moms coming to the office, all hanging out, talking with each other, seeing the kids running around. I had this playing in my head all day. How was I talking to the parents? How was I feeling when I was communicating with a mom who was struggling with a child who may have ADHD or autism or just got some label on their child and they're freaking out? So in my head, I started playing these scenarios, right? It's a movie. You're literally playing a movie. And I kept playing them in my head. And for me, I just felt the joy of being able to be a part of that journey and be able to help in some way, shape, or form. That's the only thing I said. And every time I walked in my office, I visualized that happening. I'm walking through my head associate at the time. He's like, you always like walking throughout the rooms when you first get in. And I'm like, I'm clearing the energy and I'm setting the tone. I'm setting an intention for the day. And so, but what happened was, this is the fascinating part. I was only seeing 5%. My pediatric volume in my office was only 5%. In 6 months, we jumped to 48%. I didn't do anything. One workshop, but that had nothing. I only had two kids that came from there. So it wasn't like that really grew that number. But what was fascinating was it was about 8 months in, I come out of a room and all of a sudden I see the moms. I saw a couple moms come in. They were saying hi to another mom and they were all getting ready to get it. All the kids and the family were getting adjusted and they were going to go, all four moms were going to go to the park nearby to all hang out. And that was a vision I had. And I go, oh my God, it came true. And what was the feeling? I had joy and bliss inside. The reason why you want to focus on the feeling is because sometimes what you think you want is not really what you want. And this is what you've heard this many times before. I was hoping this would never be me either, right? I wanted to get to a certain number financially in my business and a certain level of success. And I got there and then I was unfulfilled and I was empty. And I was like, but this was supposed to bring happiness. I can have the fancy cars. I can have any house size I want. I could do all these things. And yet it didn't bring me the things that I was really going after. So I flipped the script and that's when I said, I'm going to go after the feeling. And that's why the feeling is so critical. And then you put the images on that. And now all of a sudden, this is where the power of visualization plays a role in things. And that's the practice behind it. So it's really, you can look at it in any way, shape you want. So if it's, let's say you want to have a certain type of partner, if you want to have make a certain type of money, or you want to do those type of things, it has to have a feeling behind that first. And then seeing yourself in that realm, because your brain doesn't know the difference if that's real or not. And eventually, if you keep practicing that, it creates neuroplasticity, actually connects what we call connections or synapses. When that happens, then that's the brain, that's all it's going to look for. And that's what's going to start to attract even more. So that's what we call like automatic success in some ways.
So how many minutes? I'm sorry I'm being so like microscopic, but I know my listeners want to know, like, what is the minimum minutes a day they would need to visualize to start seeing results?
Once you get, you know, minutes a day, if you get good at visualization, you can tap into it. All you need is a minute.
Wow.
It's not like it's long.
Guys who are listening, you all have a minute a day to visualize and feel what it would feel like to be your future, the best version of yourself. That is a great practice. Now, you are a health practitioner as well as a mindset and business coach. This is a big change of topic, but I'm a, you know, really into health and wellness. What are some health practices that we all need to be doing today? Like, are you, I know you have a cold plunge, cold therapy, intermittent fasting, infrared sauna. Like, give us a few of the things that you think we should all be doing.
Chiropractic care first. We have a nervous system that's all about communication. And so if your communication systems aren't working well, doesn't matter what you do, it's not going to fire properly, or you're not going to heal properly. You're not going to, you know, evolve and adapt to life and all the challenges that come with it. But practices you can do at home and things is, you know,
chiropractic care. So yeah. If somebody's feeling good and not feeling pain, what would be the minimum amount they should get an adjustment?
It depends. So this is the fun caveat of our practice. So I'll just take it in the reference of how I evaluate patients, because like every chiropractor is different. Some may just go, oh, you're feeling good, you're out of pain, just come when you want to. I'm a neuro-centered focused chiropractor, which just means that I'm going to evaluate your nervous system regardless if you feel great or not. I want to see what's going on in that nervous system, how well is it communicating, and we do specific tests with that. Based on those results, most of the time, even if you don't have pain, most of the time, it's going to be a couple times or three times a week, just depending on what showed up in that evaluation. Because you don't have to be in a crisis, well, not crisis state, but a lot of times people are very stuck in a what we call a sympathetic dominant state. I just call that revving the gas pedal. Mm-hmm. And so when we are, just because we're revving the gas pedal, you don't have to have symptoms because of that. It could just be racing thoughts. I can't sit still, or am I calm? It could be they're the most subtle things if we're being aware enough, but a lot of times people aren't. So they wait until we're in pain. And when you're in pain, that's a crisis state. And so now we have a lot of work to do. That just means the house is on fire. The fire alarm went off. That's the pain. We got to put the fire alarm off, and then we got to repair the house.
Okay. So not everyone can afford to go to a chiropractor two or three times a week or have insurance. So is there benefits by going once a month?
The only benefit that you're going to get out of that is just going to be the research shows every 28 days, if you get one adjustment, it can stop the process of building arthritis in the spine.
Well, that?
So that's one adjustment.
Just going so once can prevent arthritis.
Once a month.
All right. And I'm sure the benefits stack up the more you go, but you were just saying some other health practices that you recommend everybody be doing that's listening to the show. What are they?
So we talked about breath work. We talked, you know, that's a huge part to add into the mix massively. I love a cold plunge for more spiritual reasons than anything else. I've been doing this kind of work for about
yourself freezing cold spiritual to you. It is anything but spiritual to me. I'm like, my dear car wants me to have like a life of joy, ease, and bliss, not like freeze.
You know, it's my bliss state. I know this sounds very weird to a lot of people. I'll tell you straightforward. I do not like the initial response. I don't enjoy first getting in there. I don't know who does. But after about 15 to 20 seconds, as I get my breathing to calm my massive reaction that my nervous system's having, there's this serenity and peace that comes over. And then all of a sudden, I don't feel cold anymore. And I'm just focusing.
Because you've left your body, because it's so uncomfortable. You feel excitement to leave your body too.
See, there you go. And that's the spiritual part of it all. Now you got it right there. And so it's a process where you just have to.
Too cold in this body. I am like going to.
Gone.
Regions of the universe. Yeah.
Totally. But that's the spiritual experience. But it's this journey inward, and it's just, you have to so focus in and ignore what you're feeling. And if I don't notice anything, before you know it, it's 3 to 5 minutes and it's gone. Cause I do it about 3 minutes a day usually is my go-to. But it's one of those practices that I've done, and then you feel so brand new and renewed. And so a lot of times if, so here's a little hack that you can, if you don't have a cold plunge or access to this, or you do ice in a bath, what you can do is a cold shower. I don't like cold showers. This sounds weird. My wife always goes, you hate cold showers, but you go in 38, 40 degree temperatures and you'll sit in there for 3 minutes and you're like smiling after 30 seconds, but you hate a cold shower. I said, the difference between the two is I go into cold water, it's one hit and I'm done. Shower, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, and it's not acclimated yet. So you're going to get hit again. And it's like, oh Jesus, this is not fun. But here's the thing about cold that can really help you though. Cause let's say you're struggling. Let's say you're frustrated. Let's say you're worried. You're reacting. You're stuck into this, you know, fear or worry or anxiety. When you jump in the cold water, it puts your brain into a stress response, into survival. You cannot focus on those things anymore. You're going to have to, your brain's going to turn that off because like we're in survival. There's an attack. Are you in, it doesn't know, is it cold water? What's happening here? And so you have to then reshift your focus. Anytime you do a cold plunge, especially the colder the water, the more the shock, the better you're going to get out of it. When you get out of there, you're rejuvenated. You feel refreshed, energized, and you're not thinking the same way you were before. So that's where cold plunge comes in. I'm a huge fan of that. I have red light therapy.
Cryotherapy versus a cold plunge. Because for me, getting in a cryo chamber, even though it's like negative 240 degrees for 3 minutes, that is easier than the water.
It is, because cold water transfers temperature, or it converts energy over faster. So like it impacts deeper. Water does. I think it's like 23 or 24 times more than air does. So I always tell people, if you take a frozen steak and you leave it out on the counter versus you put a frozen steak in cold water, within a certain period of time, the steak it's in water is going to thaw 10 times faster, that much faster than it is sitting on the counter.
Mm-hmm. But are there
so still that's benefits? Why the cold water. There's still benefits.
That's good.
There's, as long as the cold exposure alone, I've done cryotherapy tanks a lot, and it was it's always fascinating. You're at like negative 280 degrees Fahrenheit, and you're just like, how is this possible? This is so bone chilling cold. The water has a more deeper impact though, so it's going to have a more of an effect compared to that. But you're still getting benefits. It's still cold exposure when it comes to those things.
All right, what
if you don't have any? I was going to say real quick, just another tip. If you don't have these things, you can take a bowl of water, freeze it for 24 hours. And then what you do is you fill up, it has to be a big bowl so you can fit your face in there. And then what you do is you fill up about an inch of water, and then you dip your face in there. Hold your breath, dip your face in the water for as long as you can. It's going to be totally immensely not fun. But they found research that you have more sensory nerves on the face itself. And it can actually, you'll notice after like 3 to 5 days, you're going to be able to go longer and longer and longer in that process. So it's another way of doing cold exposure. But I recommend getting full body so you get the full shock effect of it.
And what are some other health practices? What about like eating? Like, are you into intermittent fasting, like keto, paleo, like high protein? Tell us some more health hacks about food.
Yeah. Fasting is phenomenal. It is a key to longevity. You can't keep working a machine without giving it rest. So intermittent fasting, from the science literature that calorie restrictions, where you're minimizing how much you're eating in a certain period of time, is great. 14 to 16 hours is really, really good. If you can do that, that's usually 12 is like, some people say that's the minimum. I'm more like 14, 16 is what I push. When it comes to that, I practice 18 to 20, and then I do rotational cycles of fasting about every twice a week. I'll do 24 hours of no eating, just pure water. And I'm actually at the time of this recording. Yeah.
You're fasting right now on water, even as we're having this conversation?
No, but I fasted 26 hours. I ate about a couple hours ago, but I fasted for 26 hours beforehand.
Amazing. Amazing.
Well, I'm getting prepared for a 7-day next month in May. So I'm looking to, just do pure water for 7 days just to give my body a full reset. But you don't have to do that. You can just do, to keep it simple for everybody, 16 hours of no eating, and that includes sleep, and then 8-hour window of eating. Okay. And that, if you, as long as you do that, research shows that's great enough to do. But once you build up to getting used to that, you can go to 18-6, which means 18 hours of no eating, six of. And what research continues to show is that the person who eats less lives longer. I think it was like, if you reduce your calories by like 30%, if you reduce your calories, you extend your life by 30%. And so we're talking even like you have these things on your DNA called telomeres. They can look and see that's like how long you're aging. When they start to shrink more, you're shortening up your life. They found out that fasting extends them even for those who had shorter ones. So it's a powerful tool. Again, your body's designed to heal. We eat too much. We need to, minimize, give ourselves a little bit of not eating. And in the beginning, this may be hard. So a lot of times if I'm working with a patient on things like this and I'm trying to get them to fast, I always tell them like, just go to three meals and no snacking. Let's just start there. All right. We got to start small. So let's start there. Once you get that good for a week or two, then we'll start cutting out a meal and then we'll see how you feel. Because we got to make sure we're doing it in a certain process. There's so many variables that play a role in this. If you have insulin resistance or something like that, it's going to be a lot more of a struggle. Like the whole thing called hangry, that doesn't exist. But you'll say, no, I get hangry. That's not being hungry. That's an insulin issue and a carb addiction. The body's like, what's happening here? We need more of this. We're running out.
That's not an excuse anymore. It's just low blood sugar, carb addiction. So speaking of addiction, this is going to be one of the last questions and we got to wrap up. How can we overcome our self-sabotage and limiting beliefs? Like, let's say if it's around food or cold therapy or, Dr. Vic, you sound great on the podcast, but come on, there's no way. I've tried intermittent fasting. I get too hungry, or whatever the limiting belief is. What would you tell someone to do to overcome it? I know we talked a lot about reprogramming and stuff, but do you have any other tips? Because I feel like myself and a lot of people have limiting beliefs and we're kind of like in our own way.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, like, if you've done something like it doesn't work or something like that, again, it's what's the size of how small you have to start? Maybe, like I said, sometimes it's for people, I tell them just eat three meals a day, mm-hmm. right? It's something small to start with. Well, I want to get to this point. I want to do this. Forget that right now. We got to meet where you are. When it comes to limiting beliefs, stop giving power to the limiting belief. I mean, this is a simple way, because when you think about it, you're continuing to allow a belief to exist in your world. And you have a choice to either say, this is what it's going to continue to be, or I can choose something different. And the problem with humans is we wait until we're sick and tired and sick and tired of the same thing. And eventually we declare something new. And a lot of times we have to wait till we're knocked on our knees before we make that choice. So when it comes to a certain belief, we shared some of this before, like you can use the rubber band, a pattern interrupt. These are things, this is all neurology at the end of the day. These are circuit patterns that are happening over and over that you've consisted. And these things are not in your current life, they're from your childhood. And that's a whole nother podcast on itself, but it's those elements of, do you want to continue to believe that? Or do you think there can be something different? Do you believe there can be something different? Can you believe there can be a different opportunity for you? And if you believe it, then put 100% energy into that. And guess what? That's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's not like it's going to be a hypothetical. Because wherever you put your focus to and attention to is where energy flows. And anywhere, anytime, wherever energy flows, that's how manifestation grows. That's how you attract things into your life. And so if you're like, I can't go in cold water for 38 degrees. Yes, you can. You can do it. I know I used to fret about it. And then one day I did it for the first time. And I was kind of like in a big group and we're all just starting to do them. And I was like, that's my turn. I have no choice. I said I was going to do this. I hopped in there. I was huffing and puffing. You thought I was hyperventilating and everything. But then I practiced meditation and everything. And I was like, you know what? Let me just quiet my mind and let me just get my breath to calm. And as soon as I did that, I was like, I'm addicted. This is awesome. It forces me into a certain state. And so, but I had to go through that experience believing that I was going to have something different. I was fearing all the time. I kept pushing it off. And eventually I was like, I have to address this. So the answer to that question again is stop giving power to those limiting beliefs. Create a belief, just like visualization, just like we talked about creating a movie in your mind and creating your future self. Create a belief that you feel empowered to and follow that and put 100% energy and say nothing else matters except that belief system or belief.
I love it. Last question. If you could rent a billboard next to a highway and it could say one thing to the world, that's your main message, your legacy. What would that billboard say, Dr. Vic?
There are no rules to life except the ones you create.
Oh, okay. So expound a little bit on that before we wrap up this show. There are no life except the ones you create. Tell us what that means to you.
We talked about beliefs. Those are the rules to your life. That's the code. When it comes to how you see something, perception is everything. And so when we declare our beliefs to what we want them to be and we see it in that realm, it's quantum physics. They've done studies on this in the 30s and the 70s. They retested the same study called the observer effect. And they found out, long story short, what they found out was is how they were seeing something. It was actually how these photons reacted. They thought they had a mind of their own, but it was really the observer interfering with it. And so what that meant was for people is that when we start to see things in the way we want to see it or just choose to see it in a certain way, it's going to be that way. And that's your beliefs. That's your visualization. That's your perception of life, your view upon yourself and all that. And you set the rules to all that. Nothing else matters. You redefine all that. And there's studies that prove this even further with how conscious alters matter and so much more. Or you can talk about energy. And so again, it comes back to you at the end of the day, how you want to live your life and how you want to see something happen for yourself. You get to choose what that is. You get to choose the constructs of one of those beliefs, and you can go ahead and move forward regardless what anyone else says. No, whether a guru, myself, or anyone else can say, it's you dictating that and allowing to either accept others or choose your own way in the path.
I love it. How can people stay in touch with you, Dr. Vic? Where are you hanging out online?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook and Instagram. Dr. Vic Manzo is where you can find me there. I'm on LinkedIn as Dr. Manzo there. YouTube is Dr. Vic Manzo. And I have a podcast called The Mindful Experiment. And you can catch that over there. That's where you can find me.
Thank you so much, everyone. Thank you, Dr. Vic. This has been another wonderful episode of the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant podcast. I am your host, Rebecca Whitman, taking you from burned out and overwhelmed to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. We are a word of mouth movement. So please send your friend a copy of the show. Dr. Vic drops so many nuggets. You're going to want to copy and paste the link. Just send it right to your friend. And please, if you haven't given us a 5-star review, go ahead and do that. That boosts us in the algorithm so more people can find out about this amazing movement that we're all a part of. Because as Dr. Vic so eloquently explained, you don't have to go through life burned out and overwhelmed. You can use the power of quantum energy. You can visualize. You can do things like cold plunge, intermittent fasting, all the great things that were discussed. And we will see you guys next week with another amazing guest. Until we meet again, keep your vibe high and magnetized. Bye, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to another amazing episode of the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant podcast. It's your loyal listening that makes our show top 0.5% in the world. I would love to connect with you in person. We're having our second international retreat October 3rd through 6th in Belize. If you like yoga, sound baths, and want to get all 7 pillars of abundance to a level 10, this retreat is for you. Just go to the link tree in the show notes to snag your $200 off promo code before April 15th. And let's end the year 2024 with momentum so that going into 2025, you will have so much abundance in all areas of life that you will be setting yourself up for the most incredible year ever. It is going to give you something to look forward to all year. Make sure you snag your spot before April 15th. And if you have any questions, you can always email me at RebeccaElizabethWhitman.com. My email address is on my website. Thank you so much for your loyal listening. And we will see you on the next episode. And some of you lucky ladies will see you in Belize. Bye.